Boom, straight in. There we go.
Let's go.
Straight in.
Dude, you can hear from my voice notes, I'm on fire today. I am ready to go.
How many matches have you sniffed, mate?
What's going on?
I drank one, snorted one, rubbed some between like a cut that I have just to get it really into the bloodstream.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I'll probably get some on the gums a little bit later.
Perfect, mate. Perfect combination, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
quick, just aside. I make a lot of like drug addict jokes.
Right.
I've never had to think that maybe some of the people around me were those things. So I'm like rubbing that stuff on my gums, shooting it between the veins, and it gets super quiet. And I'm like, but I mean, you know, but
yeah. I mean, mate, that's me in every social situation. I say,
is it really?
And then I go, what happens if his like girlfriend or wife has gone through? And I'm like, I won't say anything. That is me in any social situation. I think something and I go, don't say it. And then yeah. I end up not saying anything. And everyone goes, well, you're quite quiet today. And I'm like, well, not in my head. Not in my head, I'm quiet.
Like the stand-up comedian in my head is on fire tonight, just
absolutely
so you guys know.
Absolutely ripping. Just over here.
I've had two full sets tonight.
Yeah, that is me, mate. That is me,
yeah,
mate. Anyway, you're fired up.
And then basically, yeah, go ahead.
I'm fired up as well because I've had a Lucozade, a coffee in the car to race to get here on time, mate.
And, but you made it.
I made it, mate. I went to the aquarium. I have ticked off both dad life and then drummer life today. Aquarium, beach walk, lunch, podcast, drum lesson. There we go, mate. Boom.
Love it. Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned being a dad, because if you just went to the aquarium by yourself, I think our listeners would be like, oh, things are a little rough for old Eddie. He's just, without Busted, the guy's just hanging out at the aquarium by himself.
He just goes to look at like little turtles in the aquarium. It's really weird. Just, there we go.
Anyway, I can see a whole family just like, is that Eddie Thrower with his face pressed against the glass?
The funny thing was, it was like right next to the venue we played in Bournemouth.
Oh, really?
And yeah, mate, it's so weird, man. Like, anyway, a bit of a side note, but you know when you go to something as a punter, as a customer, you get a completely different perspective and you're like, oh my God, that's pretty cool. That was pretty big. That was a unique experience, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I would assume, like, just knowing the life that you guys have, you probably never even see the front of the venue, right? You're on a bus, the bus pulls into the back, then all of a sudden you're loading in, you walk on stage, so you see the arena from the front, but you don't see like what somebody that has tickets for the event sees.
Yeah, yeah. And it's...
You don't walk up to it.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. So it was kind of cool seeing that, really. But what have you been doing this morning? Busy? Gym?
Yeah. No gym. This is 7 a.m. for me right now. So.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to get here first, but I also did a YouTube video yesterday that's going up in 48 minutes. So I had to get here wearing the same outfit as yesterday because I had to take the thumbnail picture that I didn't have time to do yesterday.
Classic.
You understand?
Yep, yep.
You understand? All of our creators out there will understand what that's like. Like, oh, the effing thumbnail. It is the bane of all existence for YouTubers.
Mate, I don't know how you do it. I am the laziest guy when it comes to thumbnails, and then I cry when the video doesn't do well. And I'm like, well, you know.
It sucks. Like, it's the one thing that I wish AI was better at. Like, I can make a 4-camera angle, 4K, 10-minute video in about 8 seconds. And it's a 10-minute video and I make it in 8 seconds. That's bending the laws of physics. A thumbnail will take me 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I know. Because you constantly go, is that too much? Is that like clickbait? Is that not? Okay, I need
to... Is it the same as the last 40 that I've done?
Yep, there you go. Exactly.
Do I need to do the like, you know, Home Alone shocked face. Oh my God, I can't believe this chop. Like, do I have to do the little, like, I don't know how to cut myself out of an image, even though Adobe can do it in a snap now. So I have to like put a white outline around myself. like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all the same. And I'm like, dude, these are so terrible. But they also have 8 million views.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you and I are the same as far as, I don't have any drum content on my feed. So I'm just looking at whatever's kind of trending in the things I follow. I follow a lot of architecture, a lot of camera stuff, filmmaker stuff. And I'm just, you know, filmmaker reacts to new M&M's commercial. Oh!
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I know, mate. Ugh. I know. That is like, yet again, we started off the podcast talking about me and social situations. Now, this is me and as well. Like, I'm constantly trying to juggle between, all right, well, you've got to tell people and show people what you're doing in a certain way as well. But then also you don't want to sometimes. And it's like, you know, you got to be that guy.
It's tough, man. Because, you know, we grew up in a time where just doing the work was the whole thing. Yeah. If you were doing it, it didn't matter who knew because the people in your close circle knew and that was the only circle. Well, now your close circle is 100,000 people all across the world. And I've literally today and yesterday been getting DMs from people checking in on me, asking if I'm okay because I haven't posted on Instagram.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. Oh, and I was like, dude, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. But okay, so I'm going to make an Instagram post about why I'm not posting on Instagram. Here's the thing I'll tell you, and I'm curious if you can relate to this at all. It's not a planned break at all. Like, well, one, there have been posts, but they were Simon Says related, and I just deleted them off my feed because the show has happened. I don't want that to crop up in somebody's feed. They head out to the whiskey, and they're like, oh, he said Saturday, but that was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it's been about 3 weeks since my last Instagram post, which for someone like me that's done daily posts for years and years, that is a long time. It's not a planned break at all. Just to be totally honest, I haven't been inspired by the platform lately as a consumer. I'm spending less and less time on it. I check it as often as I used to, but now I only get like four posts in and then I just get out of the app. I'm kind of over it.
I'm the same.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm just kind of like a bit bored with social media in general, apart from YouTube, to be honest with you. I'm like, yeah,
same.
I don't know. It's just it kind of leads us on to the topic we're going to talk about today in some ways, but it's just, there's just so much of everything that at the same time, there's just so much nothingness. You know what I mean? It's like, totally. You're just staring at all of these things in your face and you're just like, nothing's going in. And mate, I've started reading, obviously, which is like, because of this thing I'm doing. And mate, I have never read a book in my entire life. I tell you
really?
What, that is just so nice. I never thought my personality would find enjoyment in sitting there reading a book with no distractions, but it's amazing because it's the complete opposite to what I'm used to and have consumed knowledge and information on for the last God knows how many years. Like Instagram and my phone is just hectic and now I'm loving a book. Yeah. But yeah, I'm the same, mate. I haven't really felt motivated to make any content apart from just posting things that already exist on my phone that have been shot on a phone, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird because I mean, I've always said like you should only be part of a social media platform that you ingest. So when people say, should I be doing TikTok as well? I think like, I don't know. Do you consume TikTok? If so, yeah, you should definitely do it. But making a weekly YouTube video, which at this point now for me, it is a week long process. I have to start thinking about it on Monday to be able to shoot it by Friday, to have it edited on Saturday and posted on Sunday. There's no more, at least where I'm at in my YouTube kind of path, there's no more like, I'll do a YouTube video today. It's an entire week of planning. I don't write a script, but I definitely rehearse like, okay, well, where is this thing going? What's the payoff? What is the point of this? Because I don't do just like licks and tricks anymore. So it's like, well, is this a concept? What was the last four videos? Were they pad related? Well, let's get off the pad, get back on the kit. Were they groove related? All right, let's get some fills in there. So I'm thinking about it a lot. I love that. I love that whole process. That never feels like work to me. As soon as I open Instagram lately, I just can't believe how numb I am. I used to say I was numb to the drumming. Like, okay, we've got, you know, now 7-year-olds are at Thomas Lang's level. I'm over it. Everyone's great. No big deal. I'm checking in on my friends, but my friends aren't posting anything about their lives anymore. They're only posting them being amazing at the drums, which is great, but I'm kind of numb to it. But I'm also becoming numb to the things that I follow that, because I don't follow a lot of drums. Now, all the architecture is mansions.
Yeah.
Nothing clever, just mansions. Mm-hmm. All the cars, there are no more like 1972 Porsche 911 rebuilds. It's just Paganis and Lamborghinis. And I'm like, I'm numb to all of this. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sorry. I hate to break it down for everyone that's kind of like believes in Santa. Hey, a lot of kids. It believes in Santa Johnston because he was never one of my relatives. But for everybody out there that like doesn't know, it's fake. Like, I'm sorry. Your life is not like most of those people. I'm like, you don't own that Lamborghini. You borrowed it.
Yep.
Why am I yelling?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, mate. I'm exactly the same. And I think it's actually nice to talk about it and refreshing for the listeners to hear two people that use social media quite a lot or would appear to use it quite a lot to actually just say, yeah, I completely agree. And I'm just, yeah, I'm kind of bored of it as well, man. I think, I don't know. I see Instagram and social media, the bigger picture took a turn in lockdown. And I feel like the platforms now favor, maybe they always have, but they favor the stuff that's going to get comments. And that normally is negative stuff. And that normally is things that rile people out the wrong way. Or it's like extremists, you know, of every situation. Yeah. It's like, you can't just be like this chilled, talented person anymore. Like, you've got to fall into the trap of being like, this is my view, or this is what I'm doing. And this is like the extreme version of it to gain any traction. Which is weird, but that's why I think YouTube is just always the one, man, because you do get showing things on the homepage and the algorithm does exist, but at the same time, you can go out of your way and spend a long time with people that, you know, you enjoy, and they don't have to throw something in your face every 20 seconds.
And if you think the algorithm is like really geared towards like the silly stuff on YouTube, feel free to log out of Google and then go to youtube.com and see what the real 2 trillion views silly stuff is. Because I promise you're being shown the best of the best with your interests on YouTube. You log out, it's like, wait, what is it? Like, man stacks 7 cups and then stands on it. 2 trillion views. And I'm like, what? I didn't even know this existed. Like, cat farts and hiccups at the same time.
Yep.
8 billion views.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I still love YouTube as a platform. I have a question. Do you use the former Twitter, now known as X, at all?
No, I don't actually, mate. I had a good following on Twitter in LTA, and I was verified, and then I just never used it, man. I didn't really find the use for it, so I deleted it. Yeah, just got rid of it.
Wow.
Do you use it?
Wow. Every day.
Do you?
God, no. I wouldn't even using know, like, is it? Yeah, I've got worker. I just X'd or tweeted, or I tweeted X'd. No, I have no idea. I every once in a while, because same thing. I go there and I'm like, Jesus, I didn't know I had that many followers. I don't do anything on here. Mm-hmm. So I think, well, if I could take advantage of that following, let's go. And I'll post a little video. And then it says 4 likes, 1 share, 1 retweet. And I'm like, what the hell? So I think, okay, well, that's just because I'm not very regular on here. So I go find some drum companies that are regular, some drummers that are regular. 11 likes, 2 retweets. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't think this is really worth the effort.
Yeah. It's a weird
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Because you listen to a lot of podcasts, and so many podcasts really run their whole thing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, they really are involved. And so I don't fully get it. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm also not a news person in general. I don't keep up on current events. So maybe that's why I don't use that platform. But yeah, for me, still, YouTube is the one. Okay. So before we get into it, I've got a little analogy for you.
Okay, perfect. Shoot.
You know, as an educator, I love myself some analogies. I'm always trying to think. Now, this one has almost nothing to do with drums. By the way, everybody, welcome into episode 161 of Drum with Mike and Eddie, the drumming podcast for drummers and drum obsessives just like us that talk about drums 24/7. Watches.
Okay.
What watch are you wearing right now? You don't have to say, you can just show it.
I have nothing on right now because I'm going to the gym straight after, which is I know.
Wow.
I feel naked, mate. I feel naked. I mean, I am naked from the sweatshirt down.
We both
as usual.
We both are.
We normally do the podcast like this. It just spices things up a bit, but
it really does. When the camera falls over the tripod and we're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You should never have to see that.
When I plug the charger in, it stands up and I'm like, whoa now.
Whoa. There's a drum with Mike and Eddie after hours. It's how we make our real money. Okay. So you and I wear the same watch. And just for the watch nerds out there, we'll just call it a sub-no-date. So you and I both wear the same watch, and we also have a very good friend that is the person responsible for getting me into watches that does not appreciate our watch of choice.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. So, and the reason why is it's unimaginative. It's boring. It's utilitarian. There's no spice to it. Well, I was thinking today, because I was thinking I'm sure he's coming to camp this year. And I was thinking, okay, I'll wear the Tudor Heritage Chronograph because that's a little bit more spicy. It's got a little more flair. Yeah, and
know,
I know if you know, you know. Yeah. So anyways, I realized though, the sub no date is the basic rock beat of the drum world. Yeah, it's not spicy. It doesn't do anything cool, but it's in 98% of all hit songs from 1974 till now. So it's like, it never lets you down. It always works and everybody wants something spicier. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need the GMT. I need the Explorer 2. I need this. And trust me, I love a good like Omega Speedmaster where the face is made out of like a meteorite that came from space. Love it. But that is kind of a 7-8 groove that was used in two songs in the last 100 years
yeah.
that made it to the radio.
Yeah, but it's great because it's so true because like the person wanting the 7-8 can nail 4-4 perfectly. You know,
totally, absolutely.
The legend who we're talking about right here, who I'm sure is listening right now, which is now I'm picturing him. Now I'm choosing my words very carefully, just in case next time he's seeing me, absolutely destroys me with his intelligence. But he's nailed 7-8. He's nailed every time signature in the world. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. He's got it all.
He's got it all. Whereas someone like me, for example, I've just been craving the simple 4-4. And now I've got it. I should be happy about the 4-4, you know?
You should be very happy because it's the groove that pays the bills and you've got that. So, okay. So now knowing the analogy, you and I both also have a very, let's say relative, affordable watch. It was only expensive because it caught fire as a trend, but it is plastic. So you and I both have the Omega Swatch. Do we have the Mercury? Or the Moon?
The Mercury. Yeah.
Mercury. Yeah. We have the darkest one.
Yep.
So I think it cost $11 to make the watch. They sell it for like 100. You and I both paid 500 quid because it became the most like popular thing in the world.
Yep.
Because Swatch was able to make a billion of them. So what is that watch in relationship to the groove and the fills and the chops? Like, where does it sit?
Mate, that is an interesting one because you've got factually knowing the resale price, but then you've got the hype of it.
Is it the Blujda?
Ooh.
You can't use it a lot, but when you do.
Yeah, it's spicy. It is spicy. And it turns heads. Do you know what I mean? It turns heads, mate.
Only three. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's like blut, but it does turn heads.
Yeah, it does turn heads. I was having lunch with Trav this afternoon and someone was wearing the green one and I saw it and it turned my head. So I guess he was wearing the Blujda. It's a good way of putting it.
Okay, now let's go all the way into the drums. You and I have both had to talk about this behind the scenes. We've had to defend ourselves on social media about this. Is the Blujda three notes or four?
Right, here we go.
Let's go.
Strap in.
Come on.
All right. Right. Every drummer listening to this right now is driving is like, now just they've dropped a gear. Revs are going up. Yeah. Go on. Go on, Eddie. I dare you. Say it. Say it.
Say it. Say it.
I would say it is four notes. Bra, ba, ba, ga. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah? Is it?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how to describe that.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
There we go. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Blah, 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 blah. I would say it's four notes, I reckon.
100% it's four notes. You hit four things. And then, but the argument is, my mic is hot. I can't wait to see the output of this thing. I just noticed that it's been redlining the whole time. For everybody that's been listening to me just kind of peek, I apologize. So it takes up the space of 3/16th notes. So you have 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But you're playing four notes. But, da, da, but, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, you could even say it's five notes if you consider the flam to be two notes, if you really separated the flam.
Cheeky.
But I consider that to be one note because I flat flam it between ride and snare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really flamming that. Those are kind of, they're flat flammed. But the reason why people say it's three notes is because technically the second note, you're diddling one note. You're coming down with the right hand, but you're diddling it, which is considered sometimes one note. But I think it's open enough as far as like the spacing of the note that it is four notes. But one, two, three, four.
Yeah.
So we both agree that it's four notes.
Mate, if someone taught me that, I mean, you did live on the podcast, but if someone sat me down in a lesson and went, right, we're going to do the blood star. This is it. Bra, da, da, da. Right. So it's three notes. I would say, hang on a minute. We're not even off to the races yet. And you've already confused me. What do you mean three notes? I've just seen you play with my own eyes, four notes. What are you talking about there? Well, technically it's like, hang on a minute. Just tell me.
Did you just push up your fake glasses?
Yes.
Technically.
Well, technically. It's like, listen, technical things aside, tell me what I just saw you play. So yeah, yes. I would say four notes for sure.
Boom. Done. Now, welcome into Drum with Mike and Eddie. I hope you guys are having an amazing day. We've gotten through the good stuff. Yeah, what's
up? We didn't talk about your second show at the Whiskey.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. This is a great place for you and I to be self-deprecating and admit that, look, we're doing the best to shine on social media that it's going well. It's not always going that well. So, had dinner with my boys, right? Like old students from, or old campers that have been here before, people that I taught back at the drum lab. Like, so we had a good group dinner. Amber was there, had a great time. Go back to the hotel. I got a hotel right next, like walking distance from the venue. And I get a text from one of the students that I just had dinner with, said, dude, Nate Morton from The Voice is here. And I was like, oh my God. Like, now Nate is a drummer that I really, really look up to. You and I talked to him at our first NAMM.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. I remember.
That's the only time I've met him. So I really look up to this guy. And every time I watch The Voice, I'm always in awe of Nate, because of how quick the set changes are. I know from Ash doing The Voice in the UK, I know how hectic that whole thing is. So I'm always in awe of Nate. I'm a massive fan. And I only casually know him. So it's kind of that extra level of like, oh man, like that's amazing. He came out to see me play. He must have seen the Instagram post. So I text him. I'm like, hey man, a friend just said that you're at the show. I'll be there in like 15 minutes. He texts me back, what are you doing in LA? And I was like, oh, what are you doing at the Whiskey? He's like, oh, my student's playing right now. I came to check him out. And I was like, no, that's... By this time, I had already told my wife, Nate came to see me play. And she's like, Nate from The Voice? And I'm like, yeah.
Mate,
no, he didn't.
That is brilliant. No. Yeah, oh. I know. Yeah, I know your student. I just saw him play. He was really good. I was just checking in, seeing if
he was... 14, by the way. That's how big this show was.
Oh, just see what I mean? This is ridiculous now. 14-year-olds are just killing it. Mate, yeah, what is going on?
It was... So, yeah. So, that was... I did have some other favorite drummers that came out, and they actually did come to the show, but that was the one that I thought, like, yeah, man, I roll through Hollywood, the celebs come out, all
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I'm sure Johnny Depp will pop by. It's going to be awesome. Or Johnny Depp will come by because his stepson is in the opening act.
That is so good.
And
mate.
Leave. Yeah. It was good, but I have to say, man, like it was a full day of going, yeah, I don't ever need to do this again. Like there is nothing other than the 40 to 50 minutes I'm on stage with the boys that I enjoy. And it wouldn't change if life was easier. Like if instead of loading in and loading out, we had roadies. I still don't like the whole thing. Like but here's the thing that I think people need to understand. I never have. Like when I was 17, I didn't like it. I just thought you were supposed to do it. When we got signed and we toured, I just thought, I don't know, this is what a drummer does, but I've never liked the thing. I honestly don't even really like the playing that much, because I'd rather just be here where it's not, you know, when we're at my studio, we play one song. Then we BS for 5 minutes, take some sips of our sparkling water, have a snack. I love that. I love rehearsals. I get everything I need as far as the need to be on stage from clinics, but I get it the way I need it, which is I do like to play drums, but I like to teach more and I really like to be a bit of a stand-up. Like I like that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't do that at a show. Yeah. I don't have a microphone. Like I'm just sitting there waiting to cardio out the next rock tune.
Did muscle memory sink in and in between songs you got off of your stool and started walking to the front to talk or?
You have no idea how many times I almost grabbed that SM57 on my snare to say, hey guys, what's up? This is Mike Johnston. What is up, whiskey goers? Mike Johnston here.
So the power
you guys are ready to learn some polyrhythms. I mean, the next song is called Tripwire. Here we go.
Yeah, man, I get
it. But the show went great. We had fun. Chris Robine from the band Far will be taking my place on this upcoming tour. That had been literally decided before we ever even played our first show together. Mm-hmm. I knew that I could, because of my camp season, I could only do the Sacramento show and the LA show. And then Chris is my hero. He is like my favorite drummer of all time. If everyone thinks Phil Collins is my favorite drummer, you're wrong. It's Chris Robine. It always has been. And I'm so excited to go to their practice later this week and watch my hero play the songs that I wrote with my band 20 years ago.
That's like, sick.
That'll be heaven.
Yeah. Are they rehearsing fun, at your place or no?
Hell no.
I was going to say.
No, not without my supervision to be like, watch the can. You're about to kick over the can on my carpet.
The can's kicked over. No way. Yeah. That's what it's like being a dad, by the way. I was just going to say, if you ever feel like you sort of like, don't know what it's like, it's that. Don't spill the ketchup. You're going to spill it. You spill it. Yeah. Don't pick it up. You've picked it up.
Okay.
It's pretty much that.
You know, Trav, I want you to know, and this is nothing against you. I know that you're four. You're the reason we rent. We rent everything. The car is a rental. The house is a rental. My shoes are rented. Everything's rented because of you. And it's nothing against you, but my life would be better if you just stop being a child. Could you be 18 right now? Except for you have Travis. Like what I mean by that is like every time I hear his voice, he's just so, maybe it's because he's British, but he's so polite.
I know.
Hi, Mike.
He is, mate. He even on the way back. So there's like these smoothies they have in like Costa, which is like a coffee shop here.
Yep.
And he calls them moosies. I don't know why. He's like, oh, I want a moosie on the way back. And I'm like, oh, we can't, mate. I've got to get back. I've got a podcast. Like I can't, honestly, it's busy. It's Saturday where it's Sunday. You know, I can't, mate. I'm so sorry. And all you hear in the back of the car was, that's okay, Dada. And I'm like, oh,
no.
I'm like, no. You know what? F the podcast. We're going.
Screw
we're
it.
Going.
We're going.
We're going. So yeah, mate, it's crazy.
And you know that I would 100% be like, we can be as late as you want as long as Trav gets his moosey.
Yeah, he gets
it's
his
fine
moosey.
By me.
He gets his moosey.
All right, let's get into our main topic before we run out of time, which is finding the line. This is a topic that might take us a couple episodes to get through because this is something that you and I are both going through as players ourselves. We go through it as teachers. We go through it as human beings. And basically finding the line between like inspiration. Where is this inspiration coming from? What should I be practicing right now? What should we be teaching our students to practice? Do people have too much access to information? There is a line that is getting very blurry.
Yeah.
And you and I are trying to navigate it ourselves. Like if somebody said, who are you influenced by right now? I would honestly say, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Architects. Like I'm so confused right now by how much information is out there. And then you and I are both putting information out there as well. And we're trying to, this is the other thing. We're trying to find the line of, I don't want to be a car salesman. I don't want to constantly be telling you sign up for this and be a part of this. But it's also like, well, it is my livelihood and I am proud of what I'm doing and you're proud of what you're doing. So, I mean, good luck. Kick us off, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, I sent Mike a voice note yesterday on my walk that I'm doing every night. And so I've changed the way I've booked people into my one-to-one lessons now. It's not, you can't just book in willy-nilly and randomly, you know, I have to like, it's monthly. So you get two lessons a month and there's only five slots. That's all I'm taking on. And there's only two left, I think. But I wanted to like add the guys into like a WhatsApp group and basically just, you know, introduce them all and send them voice notes and send them updates and stuff like that. But I sent you a voice note saying like, it is interesting, isn't it? Where is the line between motivation, accountability, inspiring them, but then also knowing that they don't want to, people don't necessarily want to be the next Dave Weckl. They don't want to be the next Travis Barker. They just want to have fun on the kit and get a little bit better. So where is the line regarding, I know everyone's individual, but where is the line regarding all of those things? Like, how do you give value, but not too much value? Is too much value pushy? Is too much value like being, I don't know, like a strict personal trainer? Have you done your practice today? All that kind of stuff. So yeah, I sent Mike a voice note just saying, isn't it interesting now that, like, you know, the lessons are, it's changed. Like, the value in charging for a lesson is like, obviously here is some information, but it's more than that now. It's there's so much information out there for free on social media. And it you sort of charge for the other things really to a certain extent. But how far do you push that information? How far do you, how far do you take it regarding all of those things when you know that some people just aren't wanting to be like the best drummer in the world? Do you know what I mean? It's an interesting one. Yeah. It's kind of relative.
Well, how do you...
Sorry, go ahead, mate.
No. It is relative to what you were going to say.
I love it, mate. Yeah. If my brain goes, Eddie, you've been talking for like 5 years here, mate, might come in. And then when you do, I just don't stop talking. But but it is relative to the gym. It's like people want to be healthy, but they might not necessarily want to be the next bodybuilder, you know? So it's like how to balance those things is tough.
Well, here's the thing. It's really important for educators to realize that you are not what they're trying to be. They're trying to be something individual, and it is your job to help them with that. And I think that with personal trainers, that's one area that I rarely see the trainer dive into, which is, what do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And because I've had trainers in the past where I would tell them exactly what I want. Like, hey, I want to lose some body fat. I'm not really overly interested in gaining muscle mass or anything like that. I don't want to be any bigger. I do want to be healthier. And then all of a sudden they come up with a program that's 90% protein, all heavy lifting. And I'm like, no, remember we talked about that. That's what you want to do with your life. Yeah. I don't want to be you. I don't even want to look, you're in great shape. You know, you and I, your last trainer that you had, the online guy.
Oh yeah.
Neither one of us want to look like that. Like, that's like, oh, this is your entire life.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, no, I have a different life. I have a different career. I want different things out of it. And I think that as that's what's hard about scaling education is that every single one of these people wants something different. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I still haven't even cracked the code for myself with is mikeslessons.com is all the information. But if I could tailor it for each person, they would have access to 2% of that website.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's like, you don't need any of this. You can think of it as, this is 50 chunks of 2% for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't know which two chunks you need. So I do have to offer a little bit of everything, because that's what, unlike say Carter McLean's education, which you are going to him saying, I just want to know what you personally do. My side is the complete opposite. It's like, well, I really don't talk about what I do very much. I'm just giving you general education. So I think that that's the tough thing, is figuring out with the student, whether it's online or in person, how much time do you have? What are your goals? And then tailoring something for that. But that's so tough. Like you said, they're actually probably not paying for the education. I guarantee some of the people that aren't doing the monthly thing, but just had one lesson back in the day with you.
Yeah.
They weren't even paying for the lesson. They were paying to tell their friends they had the lesson with Eddie Thrower from Busted.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
You know, like, because people value, like, you and I have had this before at camps, like where somebody was like, you know, I studied with Bob Talentammer. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this? You just paid to come to our camp. Like, why are we talking about who else you... Because you value yourself based off of who you were in the presence of, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, okay, well, we have to let that stuff go. So yeah, it's tough, man. Like, now as far as there's teaching, but you're also a drummer. Like, where are you getting your inspiration from? Do you even know what to practice?
It's weird, mate. I weirdly, at the minute, at this current time, I do, and it's this silly, you know, singles between my hands and foot, just because I've never been able to do it. And the practice project, it has been accountability. But yeah, it's a weird one, mate. I've never really looked at other drummers to be like, this is what I want to do, and that's how I want to do it. It is confusing though. I don't really know. I think the hardest thing I've always found is what to practice, as opposed to, like, you know, it's like we always talk about it. What to practice? How do you get better? What is the thing that is going to make you a better drummer? And for me, it's always been sounds and movements in my head that I can't really do. But I think at the minute, mate, I think, like, the one thing that's pushing me and inspiring me to teach and get better at the drums is so I can do it and make money, basically.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Totally. Like, so I can fucking be a better drum teacher myself. And it's kind of like if I was a personal trainer, you know, like the only reason why I would want to work out is to, one, be healthy, obviously, but second of all, so I know what they're going through. So I know what to tell them. So I don't feel like a hypocrite or whatever, you know, like, so.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's when you see the soccer coach on the side of the field, that's 800 pounds. So I'm like, dude, come on. Yeah, you're yelling at these kids.
Yeah.
But you couldn't even run to, like, catch a phone call if your cell phone was 8 feet
exactly,
away.
Exactly. So I think that's the thing. If I think out loud, I think that's the thing that's really kind of pushing me at the minute, is like, all right, cool. Yet again, going back to social media, there's so much out there for free. Where do I give genuine, true value that people are going to appreciate and want more of? So yeah, I think that's where I'm sort of drawing my motivation and inspiration from at the minute. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now is the easy time for me because I have camp starting a week from today. And so I'm practicing the curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it's tough because I write the intermediate curriculum thinking it's no big deal. Then I go and play it and it's a very big deal and I can't play it. And I'm like, oh man, this is tough. And not only do I have to play it, but I have to be able to play it while drummers are staring at me and play it at a level that it's like, well, this is the thing, mm-hmm. not I'm working on this. This is the finished product. Because that's the one thing that I think a lot of teachers leave out. Like, okay, you have to learn your paradiddles. Great. Why do I have to learn them? Well, a lot of teachers don't have the show off version of the paradiddle. So it's like, yeah, if you can't show me the end result, I'm sorry, like, I'm not in. So you have to have, so everything I teach now, I'm always saying, like, what does this turn into? So if I'm working on inverted paradiddles, I want to have complete mastery of flow with inverted paradiddles all over the kit to say, that's why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm playing, let's say something that everyone thinks is unrelated, like, all right, I'm doing an independence exercise over the samba foot ostinato. Well, the go-to is playing like a street samba for everybody, but it's like, but that's not applicable. Who's going to do that? Like, if they're coming from mostly from America and Europe, like, you'll probably never have to do that. But if I can put that samba foot ostinato into the breakdown of a Meshuggah song, then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, this stuff happens all the time. We just don't label it as the samba or whatever
yeah.
it is. So I'm really focusing hard right now on the payoff. What is the payoff of this exercise? This pad thing, what's the payoff? This independence thing, what's the end result? Because if the end result is the thing itself, I'm sorry, it's not enough. Like,
definitely
watching some drummer do threes, fours, fives, and sixes over a foot ostinato, it's like, great.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you doing it just to do that? Because I think that is actually the modern payoff, is like, yeah, I'm doing this to post it on Instagram because it's the thing.
So true.
But it's like, well, but it doesn't the thing lead to something? Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of my obsession right now, is what is the musical payoff of this exercise?
It's so true, isn't it? It is so, so true. Like, you know, like, you see so much of that on Instagram, and it is so true. It's like, well, that's the payoff, just being able to click post on something that you filmed. It's like, well, tell me why and where I'm gonna use. Yeah, tell me the why. Do you know what I mean? I mean, a good example is that crossover thing I'm doing at the minute. It looks silly. If I'm posting the practice of it, it seems like a monotonous exercise that isn't gonna get you anywhere. And then when you actually get good at it, you're like, oh my God, this gives me a lot of freedom. So, but the why is so important, mate. And I feel like, yet again, social media, it's just, the why is just not there. It's just a lot of everything and not the what.
It's just the what constantly.
Yeah, like, it's just the what.
You know what I mean?
It's the what, not the why. It is so true.
It's constantly like plants in the house. And then I'm like, okay.
Why?
And then if somebody would say, it actually improves your health, it collects dust, it improves the health of your animals, I'd be like, oh, I'll go get some plants. Yeah. But you just keep showing me that you have plants in your house. I don't care. Yeah, like,
so true.
So, all right.
It's so true.
Wow. This has basically been a 45-minute therapy session.
It has. But it's needed, though. It's needed because I guarantee you, everyone listening can relate to everything we're saying because, it's all true.
We're all on the verge of snapping.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you have a Zoom lesson to get to, so we will wrap this one up. But I think we're just getting into this topic of finding the line for what we should practice. Where are we getting this information from? Why are we doing this? As teachers, what do we put onto our students? I mean, that's the real finding the line for you and I personally is how much pressure do we put on our students to practice?
Yeah.
And because my teachers never checked in with me. Never once said, hey, how are you doing? This is a future app from 2024 called WhatsApp. I'm using it early in 1987. And, you know, it's like there was no check and you just showed up to your lesson. You either did the work or you didn't.
Yeah. And if you didn't, you just got told to either go or just like, well, we're not.
Yeah.
Do it now then.
at no point did the teacher say, oh, you didn't practice this at all? Don't worry. I have a whole nother lesson for you, completely unrelated, just to keep your little ADD brain going.
Yeah.
They just said, well, I guess we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Because we can't move. And you and I would be like, oh, it's all good, dude. Don't worry about it. Let's work on fills. You know, and yeah. It's like, we can't. We have a bigger responsibility to be able to like buck up and say to the student, look, I know you paid for the last lesson. I know you paid for this lesson. And unfortunately, they're going to be the exact same thing because you didn't put in the work. Maybe you just didn't have the time. I totally get that. I'm not mad. But I'm sorry, this thing that I taught you is a stepping stone to the next thing, which we cannot do until you get this down.
Yeah, man. Exactly. So yeah, I feel like over the next couple episodes, we can talk about finding the line because I think it falls into so many categories, creating social media, you know, like charging for information, and then obviously teaching and more of what we spoke about today. Yeah, it's interesting, mate. It's really interesting, man. I love talking about this stuff. And if you can relate, let us know. Slide in the DMs or share this on your Instagram story because we'd love to hear from you all, man. Yeah, whoa. I know. I turned into a weird, like,
whoa,
weird
that was, no, I liked it. I liked it.
It's because I genuinely was like, I am genuinely interested if other drum teachers are like getting what we're saying. Do you know what I mean? I'm like genuinely...
I'm really hoping that somebody right now is driving going, exactly that, babe, that's what I've been telling you that forever. All right, yeah. Everybody. Thank you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Ooh. We will see you. Oh yeah.
Song of the week.
Oh, song. No idea.
Okay.
Do you have one?
I've got one, mate. My song
Bring
of the week,
it.
Mate. Song of the week. Architects. If you like your heavy music, they are amazing. But Architects from the UK, they've got a new song out called Cursed. And it is incredible. A very heavy tune.
Really?
But Dan Searle, the drummer, is amazing. And yeah, they're one of my favorite bands. Toured with them a bunch. They're local to me and they're just the insane guys. But yeah.
What's the song called again?
It's called Cursed.
Cursed. Got it.
Sorry, without the D.
Cursed.
So just Cursed. Architects Curse. An absolute banger if you love your heavy music. And yeah, it's a big old riff. The guy who mixed the Busted stuff and he's
oh, nice.
Pucker.
I will check it out for sure. My song of the week is called Flight by the Jeremy Ledbetter Trio. If you ever wanted to hear 4-4 played so weird that you're like, what time signature is this? And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, is that a back? Is this in 4-4? Check out Flight by the Jeremy Ledbetter Trio. That is Larnell Lewis on drums, and it is unbelievable.
There we go, mate.
It'll change your whole day.
The sub node 8 beat.
Exactly. So, that's what it is. You know what? That groove is so hardcore in 4-4 that it's actually sub with date.
Okay. Sub, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. He's got the little bubble on the top.
He's got a little cheeky bubble.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Please repost the fact that you're listening to this stuff, you have no idea how much that means to Eddie and I. If you can't become a part of the Patreon page, we fully understand, but if you could head on over to iTunes, or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating and write a little review. That helps other drummers find this. But for now, episode 161 is in the can.
Boom. There we go.